Good afternoon, friends. A visitor in Denver today, the Honorable Maury Maverick, Member of Congress, 20th District of Texas, will speak upon the subject, Neutrality, Let's Attend to Our Own Business. We are pleased to present the Honorable Maury Maverick.
Fellow Americans, this is what we call Armistice Day. I'm in the city of Denver, Colorado, speaking through the courtesy of KOA and the great station of the West and the National Broadcasting Company. I had no idea they had such a fine building and such a fine setup. Studios all around. My subject is neutrality. Let's attend to our own business. And you know, of course, what I mean, that we as Americans, in the event of any war, remain positively neutral and adopt neutrality as a national policy, that we as a nation attend to our own business. You'll permit me to meander a little, I hope, because I've returned to this city for the first time in 18 years, having served as a soldier both in the United States and France, in the 1st Colorado Infantry, known since the World War as the 157th U.S. Infantry. Denver is a city famed in history for its gold and silver, for pioneers like Buffalo Bill and Kit Carson from the Clash of the Mining Camp. Now, it's a modern American large city. To reacquaint myself, through the mountains we drove to the top of Lookout Mountain and saw the grave of Buffalo Bill Cody and his wife, then back again through Bear Creek Canyon to the city. Denver is the center of a great educational area, there being in or near the city the excellent Colorado School of Mines, the University of Denver, a Methodist institution, the Loretta Heights College, a Catholic institution, the University of Colorado, State Agricultural College, the State Teachers College, and Regis College, and in the city and state, numerous other institutions of learning. The city of Denver has a number of beautiful streets and boulevards. One of the business streets called Broadway has some 7 miles of the most attractive stores I've ever seen. There is also, of course, the business district. It seems to be one of the most prosperous cities in America. Due to the climate, its many splendid hospitals and clinics, and especially a fine children's hospital, and also the efforts of its physicians, Denver's public health stands as one of the highest in America. Public safety has a similar rating, which latter is presided over by one of my comrades of the 1st Colorado Infantry. As I speak, the snow glitters in the high mountains, but the sun is shining brightly and the day is fine. Concerning my connection with the 157th Infantry, the details in themselves are of no importance whatever, except that as an average American, my problems as a citizen are the same as yours, and if you were a soldier, you will see the similarity. If one makes a speech, he should say something, tell why he's talking, or else the time is wasted. My purpose as a congressman in advocating neutrality and peace is to help a little, if I can, in preventing this nation from going to war. And let us resolve to find the way. To my comrades of this regiment, I send this message. Let us save our sons from war. Let us save, if possible, the utter defeat of civilization. But this message is sent to all who listen. Typical of life is my old regiment, the 1st Colorado Infantry. In 1862, this regiment marched to New Mexico to meet a Confederate army of Texans assembled under General Sibley in San Antonio, Texas, which city and state I now represent in the Congress of the United States. The regiment with which I served in the World War met my own people of Texas, and many bloody battles were fought over New Mexico, and the 1st Colorado Infantry hauled down the flag of the Confederacy that flew over Santa Fe. Through all these years, my regiment has served honorably in the Civil War, the Spanish War, the World War, and for duty of all kinds. Yes, it's true that since the earliest times, man has warred against himself by superior intelligence. We have created what is called civilization, and we pride ourselves on our rather questionable civilization and on being human beings. When our forefathers came to this great continent, it is true they came with the Bible, but it is also true they came with the rifle, the pistol, and the bow. Because the rifle was superior to the bow and arrow, we established our civilization on the rising tide of a vigorous race. And now we have cities and towns and roads and modern industry. In the world on this day called Armistice Day, the bayonet and the gun and the dictator government are almost everywhere triumphant over the general philosophy of Christ and free government. Italy wastes its sons in foreign fields, tropical, stinking, laden with disease and hate and death. Squint-eyed Orientals living on a little island in the Pacific, having already raised the eagles of empire and conquest on the continent of Asia, relentlessly look further and survey the world. And while they buy more copper and iron and steel and deadly chemicals,
Ready for the day when they begin to make practical their dream of empire? Across their cold border on the continent of Asia is the sickle and hammer of Soviet Russia. But the Russian bear growls, and behind him are 15 million trained white men, disciplined, loyal, and ready to fight the yellow men across the border. And again, back and forth across Germany are fair-haired and blue-eyed youths, some of whose fates may yet be like one I saw on a battlefield in France, cut in half, disemboweled, rotting, dead, lost to life. France, courageous like Germany, builds cities of steel underground to meet the possible invader. In this troubled picture, our minds go to sea. We picture the navies of the world, and again we see a mad race, a race to outdo each other. Britain, ourselves, and Japan, jealous of the white man. The picture is black indeed. In my opinion, the blackest picture in the world's history. And yet here we Americans are in this inferno, and we might as well face these problems and face them with courage. Our ideals, of course, are to serve the world. And I should like for America to lead the world in peace. But did we improve the world or bring it peace or security or happiness or good government and freedom by crating our sons and ships and throwing them to the butcher shops of the gods of war? We did not. We entered a war in which we had no business whatever. We wasted our souls and blood, our money, our substance. We gained nothing and the world gained nothing. We should have stayed at home. I'm not weeping over this nor complaining. Only there is no reason why we should continue this process until we have utterly destroyed ourselves. Now to some of the technical details on neutrality. In the World War, we had some reason, either good or false, for going to war. We must consider the real ones, not the false or romantic ones. Did we enter the war to save the world for democracy? If we did, we certainly lost as far as that purpose is concerned. But to the real reason. For from the first, the British and French used this nation to get money and supplies. From the first, our sympathies were against Germany. Great Britain, with the same language, used very clever propaganda, while the German propaganda was worse than nothing. England cut the German cables coming into our country and sent her own news to America, seeking to prove the Germans were barbarians. England set up a blockade, which was the cause of the starving of the Belgians, but then proved by her propaganda to America's satisfaction that Germany did it. Our bankers and Mr. Morgan kept making loans, but let's not blame the bankers and Mr. Morgan for everything. We too worked ourselves into the war. We sold cotton for gun cotton, uniforms. We sold wheat for soldiers to put in their bellies long enough to walk to the front so they could kill each other. Get this, fellow Americans. We made money out of humanity killing itself off. And then we were pushed into the war for the purpose of collecting these debts of death. That's the true story, and nothing else is true. What I've said are facts. Now let's make an analysis or two. What is the definition of neutrality? The old definition of neutrality was to sell to both sides in an armed conflict, to sell them all the cotton, corn, munitions with which it was necessary for them to kill each other. But listen to the new definition of neutrality. The new definition of neutrality is that the United States of America shall have nothing to do with people who are killing each other. In a word, to lose money if necessary, rather than to be drawn into a war. We now understand what is meant by the old definition of neutrality and the new definition of neutrality. What we aspire to is the new definition of neutrality, which has been partly accomplished by legislation already passed, but must be made permanent in the next session of Congress. What should be done is to enact a law, just like any other, pertaining to murder, robbery, or burglary. When neutrality is violated, the offender is put in prison by due process of law, and not by proclamation of the president. To give the president great powers for the issuance of proclamations at will is wrong, because it in effect gives him the power to declare war. I am opposed to such powers. I favor a law which must be enforced by our federal district attorneys, judges, and jurors. Take the World War. Well, Europe owes us $10 or $11 billion plus interest. Had we charged ordinary interest rates, by now it would be probably $20-odd billion. Unestimated billions more were lost forever. Now, foreign commerce is practically non-existent. We're filled to the top with unemployment, loss of work, money, and business. Our national income is cut in half. 11 million of our own American people walk the streets without work and without hope. All this came in the wake of war. And though war was not the only cause, it was a very large portion of it.
We have the experience of the World War. We know commerce with warring nations let us into it. So we must stay out of any other war by not repeating the same old errors. Some people say that we should maintain our national honor in order that we can sell and make money on products with which people can kill each other. But as far as I am concerned, I want everyone to know, everyone who is interested in business, that I will never vote that American business be such that we make money out of the killing of human beings. Now, I've introduced a bill hoping to help to keep us out of war, known as House Joint Resolution Number 259, or the Maverick Neutrality Resolution. It's not perfect, but if it or some legislation of a similar purpose receives your support, something genuinely beneficial may be accomplished next session. Please understand, I have no pride of authorship whatever. In the last session, the neutrality fight was nonpartisan. Republicans, Democrats, progressives, and former labor rights working together for one purpose, and that is to keep us out of war. Let us keep it nonpartisan. The neutrality legislation passed in the last session of the national legislature was not sufficient. It expires February 29, 1936, and is incomplete and weak. It's a bill which the House of Representatives and Senate passed with the questionable assistance of the State Department and the opposition of the admirals of the Navy, the steel, shipbuilding, and other special interests. The new legislation should eliminate travel in hostile waters, loans, credits, and commercial transactions leading to war, and many other features.
Be strict and absolute. There are certain possible exceptions to absolute neutrality, which we cannot fully discuss in this short period, such as fixing a quota for necessary commodities based on the trade of the preceding years, so that normal trade for human and peaceful needs be continued. Also, it is possible an exception in neutrality be made so we can continue in force and effect the Monroe Doctrine. These points must be worked out. Now, fellow Americans, I can tell you what you can do to help put over neutrality legislation designed to keep us out of war. That is to tell your congressmen and senators in a one-page letter or on a postcard that you favor neutrality and staying out of war and whatever it takes to accomplish these purposes. You see, there are certain internationalists who are good people who say we owe a moral obligation to the world, which is true. But in the world war, it was hypocrisy, and it's hypocrisy now. We made money out of the world war. At least, we thought we were making money. Money forced us into the war. And then, like a nation of crazy Santa Clauses, we lost all the money, which we can forget. But we can never forget the loss of human life and the effect on the world and the conditions we now suffer. There are even those kind-hearted people who would like to go to war to save the world and to establish peace. But we tried that once, and it did not save the world, and it brought more war and broke down democratic government everywhere. So, fellow Americans, let us have sympathy for the world. But let us stay out of war, maintain our institutions, keep our boys for constructive work and happiness at home, and attend to our own national business. Remember, wars are fought by kids. Your son and mine, by our daughters who must lose their husbands. We who are over 40, especially those of us who know the blood and misery of it, ought to have sense enough by now to save our youngsters and our country. The dictionary says that an armistice is a temporary suspension of hostilities. Let us change that meaning to a permanent suspension of hostilities and let the world know that though we defend ourselves, our intentions are peaceful. And we hope this armistice will be forever. I thank you.
Speaking in the studios of Station KOA, Congressman Maury Maverick, 20th District of Texas, has spoken upon the subject, neutrality. Let's attend to our own business. The program has been presented through the National Broadcasting Company.